This is KWMR Point Reyes Station, the community station that knows how to swing.
KWMR is supported by our listener members and by the Maritime Radio Historical Society. Online at radiomarine.org. That's radio, MARINE.ORG. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. You can hear Epicenter at 5 p.m. on KWMR or listen to recent archives at kwmr.org. Today we'll be hearing from Mia Johnson, speaking with Amy Schliffman, physical therapist, longtime Point Reyes resident, and neighbor to KWMR who is retiring. And I'll pass things over to Mia now.
I'm your host, Mia Johnson, and today I'm going to be joined by West Marin Physical Therapy's Amy Schliffman. And I got to know Amy just casually over the years because the therapy office is right next to KWMR, and I heard that she was finally closing the door on that chapter, so I wanted to get her on the air and talk about her years of work and living in West Marin. So thank you so much for joining us, Amy Schliffman. Welcome to KWMR.
Thank you, Mia.
Yeah, so I was pretty sad to hear that you were heading out, but it sounds exciting on your side. So what has this week been like? Where are we reaching you?
Well, I'm in Kihei, Maui right now.
And this is a permanent thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's a funny word, but yes, it's God willing permanent.
So you have been in West Marin for a long, long time. What brought you to the area in the first place?
Well, I grew up in upstate New York, and after going to school there as well, I was 22, and I had a friend that was going to San Francisco State. So I started my adult life out in the Bay Area. And then would come to West Marin to get back to my rural roots in upstate New York and with no snow. And so I enjoyed that immensely. And, you know, after 10 years of working and living mostly in the Bay Area, but also Israel, I finally said I wanted to open up my own business and I wanted to do it in West Marin.
And what got you into physical therapy work? It sounds like that has been a lifelong interest, but what led you to it as a profession?
Well, I've always been a touchy-feely kind of kid. I would rub my father's scalp when I was 3 years old, and he paid me a penny every 5 minutes for that. And I've been aware of touch as a way of healing from very young. And he was also, my dad was a first aid and rescue squad volunteer, and that intrigued me as a kid as well. I thought I would like to help people but not be with all the mucus and the blood and guts that goes with medicine. So physical therapy kind of evolved very naturally for me, being an athlete also, and thinking that sports medicine would be interesting.
Yeah. So what were the sports that you played, and how did that sort of inform your relationship with your own body?
Well, I played all the ball sports and track. So basketball, volleyball, softball, and track were my main sports. And, you know, I got a lot of attention as an athlete. As part of my identity. So I was attached to my body from that standpoint, you know, my ego. And wanting to perform was important. So when I got injured, it was scary. Like about performance, about identity. But I'm going to say that I had a real epiphany as a 16-year-old. I was reading, what was it called? Hang on a second. Johnny Got His Gun.
Oh, I read that at 16 too.
Well, that was very formative for me. I mean, sort of that whole idea of being locked in.
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing?
That was an incredible book.
Yeah. And so I wanted to explore what did that mean as far as body goes, you know, that this particular story was about a fellow that had his limbs blown off in probably World War I. And he had no face and no one recognized him. And he could understand everything that the nurses and doctors were saying, which were mostly, I'm going to say, derogatory and, you know, made fun of him being, you know, laying there basically as a nothing. And so I just thought that was fascinating. And I wanted to know if I could survive being kind of a head in a glass box, if you will, with that. And so I did this long exploration I'm still doing as, you know, what is the body and what is me?
Absolutely. And I think our society puts so much emphasis on the physical appearance of the body, but I think it seems like Western society does not put a lot of emphasis on one's relationship with the body as it works, only how, as it looks. Have you come across that in your training, that there's sort of a disconnect sometimes for a lot of folks?
I think I meet people when they're suffering and they're in pain, right? So it brings out so many things. Yes, people come in and they have body image issues. They equate illness and disability with heading towards death. There's so many different things that, you know, people who have a relationship with their body where they listen to its symptoms and they don't overemphasize them or underemphasize them. That's kind of the real trick of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And listening to your body is not an overnight thing. Have you seen people evolve in that listening process with their own body?
Yes. I think that's one of my main teachings, I'm going to say, that if you don't have a relationship with your body and you don't understand its signals, or maybe you're even not paying attention to them, or you're overpaying attention to them, that's something that I work with and I have worked with over the years, I think, well, because when you do have an understanding of your body, then it's not about just kind of coming to the body mechanic and getting fixed. Mm-hmm. You actually have some tools now to go out and do some of your own assessment and treatment, and the body would be less mystifying.
Absolutely. I'm talking to Amy Schliffman, longtime owner and practitioner at West Marin Physical Therapy, who is off to Hawaii. And I'm Mia, you're listening to right now, if you're just tuning in. You started West Marin Physical Therapy in 1989, am I correct? And yes. How did it grow from there? Who's your team? What's been your experience as a business owner and in that field?
So West Marin is a small catchment area. It was never a place to really get large, I'm going to say, as a business. So I was content to be solo there most of the time with an office manager, and maybe through the 32 years I was there, I would have some relief work when I needed to be on vacation or whatnot, or I had a massage therapist on and off. But you could see that most of the time I was the solo practitioner, and that actually worked well for me. I'm going to say I was a classaholic. I took many, many classes over the years on different topics in physical therapy, and also in things that weren't quite the scope of practice of physical therapy, which are things related to osteopathy and energy work and sort of more wellness, deeper, different templates of the body than just the, I would call a dense body. But that gave me confidence. Those classes and meeting other colleagues doing that work gave me confidence that I was still cutting edge. And, you know, even though I was by myself, I was growing and doing mm-hmm. good work.
Absolutely. And can you talk about your team and how the practice is going to go forward?
Yeah. So I'm going to say 4 years ago, Frieda Weitzer became an employee, and I was kind of pulling back my hours and trying to grow her physical therapy skills. She's Bolinas born. She's got her doctorate in physical therapy. And so I mentored and groomed and helped her become a PT in my idea of transition. She also worked at Synergy Pilates and physical therapy in San Rafael as well, and got her Pilates certification as a physical therapist. So she had other experiences besides West Marin physical therapy. And I'm happy to say that she did want to take the business and continue physical therapy as a healthcare institution in West Marin. And to me, that's one of my biggest legacies is being able to pass the torch and keep the service going.
Well, that's exciting when you find that right match. Talking to Amy Schlipman about the future of the practice there. So when you were there and someone makes an appointment, comes in the door and doesn't understand what is happening with their body, they're confused, it's a mystery, something's off. What's the process of teasing out the truth of you know, where the problem lies? So what is the actual like steps that you go through with a patient?
Oh, thanks for asking that question. I think that's one of the most important skill sets that a physical therapist can have is evaluating. And once you really kind of pinpoint the cause of what is happening with somebody, then of course you can better treat it. And so as somebody comes through the door, you know, you're observing right away, are they afraid? Are they walking properly? Are they a good historian? Can they really understand their body enough to pinpoint things and tell a story? And so you get that subjective evaluation from them about their own experience, and then you do an objective evaluation where you're doing different tests and things that let us know if an area of the body's functioning properly or not. And then putting that all together, the history, their subjective experience, your objective findings, and of course your own experience as a PT, you come up with a quote unquote diagnosis and explain it and start a treatment plan. And hopefully your treatment is going in the right direction. And certainly I usually give myself about 6 visits to make sure that people are following the trajectory that I think that they should be going. And if they're not, then I better change course.
Mm-hmm. And so you do that in the office. I was wondering, some people, they take their job, you know, out because they're just so interested in it. Do you, like, if you're sitting at a cafe and you see people walking by, do you enjoy watching people's movements and posture and how they sit and stand, or do you sort of turn that off?
No, I think that's a real enjoyment and yeah. interest level for me to watch people's bodies. Absolutely.
Yeah, I find it so interesting. I sometimes take improv classes and they tell you to do the heavy, direct, you know, all the different qualifications of how people walk. And it is so fascinating. Do you ever get concerned when you see someone, you're like, oh, this person needs physical therapy?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You mostly you try to mind your own business, right? Mm-hmm. But let's say somebody's walking down the street and they have crutches and mm-hmm. And you know, you can see that their crutches are completely not fitting their body. Whoever mm-hmm. you know, whoever helped them with mm-hmm. that didn't. It just wasn't working. So I might, if I'm in the mood, say, "Do you mind if I help you with these crutches? Because you're obviously really bent over and uncomfortable here." Mm-hmm. And so occasionally I will do some unsolicited help, but most of the time I mind my own business.
Absolutely. So COVID has sort of taken over all aspects of everyone's life. And I think especially our lives with our bodies have changed, you know, whether it's protecting ourselves from disease or, you know, sitting at our computer longer or actually taking more walks in some cases. Have you seen people's bodies or relationship with their bodies change during middle, you know, late stages of the pandemic? Have you seen trends?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I want to say there's a variety of reactions. I mean, some people are more fear-based, you know, and they have gotten, I'm going to say, you know, if they already were fear-based to begin with, that COVID didn't help that. And therefore, if they're coming in with an illness or injury, they might not even seek treatments. They don't want to be around mm-hmm. other folks. Other people who are introverted really flourished during COVID because they didn't have to make themselves go out. And some people got fat. Some people got more fit. But I think more or less it affects us so much psychologically and emotionally. It's mm-hmm. still changing the way we do things and how we see each other and in our covered up face way. It's very strange.
Absolutely. And some people were realizing, you know, let's say you live alone, and some people didn't even like touch anyone for a whole year or something, you know, like if they didn't have any close family around or et cetera. Can you talk about either in a scientific way or in more of a psychological way, the power of physical touch?
Yeah. Great question. Oh my goodness. Touch is interesting. I mean, let's say you come up behind somebody and they're sitting in a chair and you just gently rest your hand on their shoulders. I mean, the instant physical and psychological reaction to that, if somebody is, you know, most of us like touch, there's some of us that don't, but it's just an immediate reflex of, you know, that, and that's an animal given. That is something that most of us have built in, that when someone intends a loving touch on you, you melt, and things, all these neurological and chemical reactions start happening in your body that starts to rebalance the tensions and the constrictions in your body. And I find that spiritual and mystical and fun and enjoyable to play with. I've taken it actually very serious, well, not seriously, but I've taken it deeply, meaning I've explored how energy runs through the body. And that's, you know, that takes a much more subtle feel. And I've enjoyed exploring that and working with that from, like I said, dense body touching, which is more traditional massage or manipulation, or maybe even the adjustments that people come to recognize from PTs and chiropractors and osteopaths. But then when you go into the more subtle body, it gets really fun.
And have you seen people, like, I know they often say, like, that emotion is stored in the body. Have there been instances where people, you know, started crying or wanted to talk about things during your sessions?
I think so. I think, you know, that happens to a lot of body workers, you know, people like me and other people that work with their hands. I mean, it's very potent to be touched in a loving way. And I think that if you cultivate a sense of safety and security in sacred space inside the room that you're working with, that people really can unload.
Absolutely. Talking to Amy Schliffman about her work as a physical therapist. And since we've been talking about more of the emotional side of it, I wanted to make sure people have some tips and tricks, if you'd be comfortable. Sitting desks, standing desks, treadmill desks, there's so many different types of desks. Do you have any recommendations for desk health?
Yeah, so, you know, sitting is a deadly thing. I mean, that's actually been talked about a lot recently, how bad sitting is, you know, for people in our animal bodies. We're just not meant to do that. And another issue is the chair backs. I mean, when we drive, we're leaning. When we sit, we like to lean on our backs, and it just robs us of our postural muscles. It's like having a crutch all the time for your leg. You just get weak. And so couches, chairs, driving seats, and us all trying to get positioned, you know, we're taught, like, you know, don't slump into these resting places. But, you know, really, the chair backs just, again, rob us of strength. So that's a big issue. Big vision. And you can be taught how to sit stacked at the edge of your chair and be in what we call neutral position, where your head is over your torso and you're not in a slump position. That is the best for our discs and our organs and all kinds of different things. But I would say, get up frequently if you're a sitting person. If you have a standing desk, that gives you a variety, but you can also stand in poor positions. So it's not just about standing or sitting. It's about how you intentionally place yourself. But I think the breaks are really important. And the screen, we all have these laptops now, and the screens kind of force us in a slump position. So try to get yourself where your screen is at eye level instead of you scrunching down to it. Those are my main points.
Probably especially folks who are thought that the working at home was going to be temporary and might be working on laptops. probably time to make it ergonomic, whatever the setup is. And any other posture tips, just going about one's life? You're in the grocery store and getting grocery. Is there anything to just remind oneself of about posture?
Yeah, I mean, you could take this a lot of different places. Like, let's say you're reaching below your waist. If you find your hips and you really know how to do a hip hinge, that's keeping your back straight and bending at your hips and knees and allowing your torso to come forward, not just vertical or perpendicular to the ground, but comes forward, but in a straight line. That's a real trick. A lot of people don't know how to
hip hinge and keep their themselves stacked. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I think anytime you reach below your waist, if you can find that accordion kind of feeling, it's kind of like the feeling that you're going to sit on a low toilet. It's like you just kind of fold. That is the position that's the best for when you're reaching below your waist. Reach with your knees straight and you just bend over from your back and you do that as a habit over many years' time, and that's how you garden and that's how you do any kind of reaching below your waist, then that eventually you're going to get a disc problem in your back.
Got it. Well, in the last couple of minutes, we've been talking to Amy Schliffman of Westmoreland Physical Therapy, who's off to Hawaii. And I just wanted to thank you for being a really nice presence next to KWMR. I know I sort of got to know you over the years just eating lunch outside, and you were often sitting down with your back against the wall and enjoying the sun, which I just really appreciated. It was just like kind of meaningful to me in that I felt like you were treating yourself well, if that makes sense. Yeah. And being very present and like feeling everything around. So I just want to thank you, first of all, for being that presence. And it was helpful to me to be just even around it, even not as a patient. So I just wanted to also ask, like, if folks want to treat themselves and their body more kindly today, in the last minute, do you have anything that you want to share?
Get out in nature. That is the most healing thing to do. Is, you know, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling in pain, get out. And, you know, of course, people move to West Marin, but it doesn't mean that they get out. Mm-hmm. And really start being in your senses, start listening to the birds and feeling the breeze and appreciating the trees, appreciating what the beauty around. Take that walk if you can, and breathe.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Amy, for joining. I hope you have a really wonderful new chapter, and don't forget about us out in West Marin. hope you have a really, really great time out in Hawaii.
Thank you so much, Mia.
Yeah, thanks for joining today, and we'll catch up with you another time soon.
Thank you.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage, kwmr.org.
Up like a king. Little Joe